Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 14. 1 Kings, chapter 14. We're going to read verse 31 through chapter 15, verse number 3. I know that's a little odd there, but 1 Kings 14, 31 through chapter 15, verse number 3. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll read verse 31. You'll join me on verse 1. And then you'll join me again on verse number 3. 1 Kings 14, verse 31 through chapter 15, verse number 3. And then we're going to read just a couple other verses later. But, and Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess, and Abijam his son reigned in his stead. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his fathers, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, and as the heart of David, his father. Now we're going to read verses 8 through 11 again. Together, I'll read verse 8. You come with me on verse 9. I'll read 10. You read verse 11 with me. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as David his father. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done. You're such a good God. Lord, what a special day that you've set aside, a day that we can remember our mamas. Lord, I pray that you'd use today's service. Would you please anoint the preaching? Would you bless the special? Would you anoint the person singing? And God, would you please open our hearts and our minds to hear what you have for us today? In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies, today is a special day for you, and it should be. And by the way, I believe every day should be that way. You hold a very high and lofty role in life. Do you realize that not only in the church, but in the home and in the world, the position of a mama is the highest role you can play? It's not CEO. It's not owner of a company. It's not executive management. Highest role you can play is that of being a lady, a mom. You are the crown jewel of all creation. Men, do you realize that the last creation God would ever do was called woman? He showcased it and said, let me give you the best last. Some ladies say because he messed up on man, he had to make a woman. I don't know how true that is, but I believe God made man to be the leader, but I also believe God made a woman for him to help him become more successful than he could on his own. Any man's success, I'll promise you, behind him stands a lady who is as great or greater. I have no doubt about that. I want you ladies here at Grace Baptist Church to not only get the love and attention that you deserve, but I want you to realize how important you are. Not just to me, not just to myself, not just to our church, but to the world. Men, this message is for you. Teenage young men and boys and girls, teenage young ladies, this message is for you. Ladies, this message is for you. We read a very interesting passage. In the book of 1 Kings and in the book of 2 Kings and in the book of 2 Chronicles, 27 times there is a phrase used. And it's always intrigued me. 27 times you'll find in those three books of the Bible the same statement made. And it's in reference to the kings of Israel, northern kingdom, southern kingdom, Israel and Judah. And you'll find that 27 times God talks about a king and he says, and his mother's name was, and gives the lady's name. Now, I don't know about you, but that interests me. But there's also something that goes with that that's scary. We read of three different people. Sorry, that finger got stuck there. It didn't come up. Three different people. We read three different people's names in the passage that we read in 1 Kings 14. In it, the first one, it says, and he did that which was evil, or did not follow the way of his fathers, and his mother's name was. The last time we read it, it said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and his mother's name was. All 27 times in these three books of the Bible, when the king's name's mentioned, it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, or he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and his mother's name was. Ladies, do you know how important it is to be a mama? I call this sermon the mother of the king. The mother of the king. The influence of a mama is powerful. I will not describe to you the world's philosophy today. I will give you God's philosophy. It is a God-given, born out of man from the beginning of time, to love his mama. Now, I say that to say this. Did you ever watch a big old tough football player? And they're spanning the sidelines. There he is on the bench, you know, 375 pounds. He looks like a lumberjack that's been eating trees his whole life. He can pick up a car. And what's the first words out of his mouth when he knows the camera's on him? Hi, Mom! You know, these big, tough guys that, you know, they eat nails for breakfast and crush glass for lunch. First thing they want to do when they get on television, hi, Mom! Say why? Because it's in mankind to love his mom. It really is. I believe God made no mistakes in the Bible. Did you catch that? This is a perfect book. These are God's words. By the way, that's why it proves God wrote it and not man. God is showing us 27 times when he mentions a king's name, and whether he did good or whether he did bad, he mentions the mama's name. Now, though the Catholics have it dead wrong, that's why they pray through Mary. They think if you talk through Mary that you have a better chance of getting Jesus' attention. Now, they're wrong doctrinally. But if you look at it humanly speaking, I think we could understand why they say that. I don't agree with it. But I know this. Some of you will try to butter up my mama to get to the preacher, amen? Just so you know, won't work. Won't work. Mama has the same say-so as you do. Now, you put enough pressure on her, you're going to watch me come unscrewed, amen? But my mom is a church member as much as she is my mom. I got to tell this story. Fellas, you'll love this. I think my dad was... Mom and dad were this week out at a restaurant eating, and it was funny that somehow church came up like it usually does with them. And somebody said, I'm getting a little, you know, my pastor's just not, you know, he doesn't spend any time with us. And my dad said he doesn't. He said, I just went turkey hunting with my pastor. He said, you did? Now, he didn't tell him it was his son. Amen. He said, your pastor goes hunting? He said, I go turkey hunting. I go deer hunting with him. He didn't tell him who the pastor was. He said, I'm going to have to check that church out. He said, yes, you are. Oh, my. Listen very carefully. Ladies, do you understand the unbelievable influence you have? I don't know if you understand how lofty your position is. I'm not against, and listen to this statement very carefully. I'm not saying it's wrong for a lady to work in the world and to even achieve position in the world. But I don't care what position you achieve in the world, there's no title bigger than wife or mother. None. I don't care how far you move up the corporate ladder, you can't move any higher than wife and mama. Promise you. You'll never have more influence than that of being a wife or a mom. Never. And it doesn't matter how much money you make. I don't care if you're in one of the S&P 500 companies and you are a corporate officer. You'll still have no greater position in the world than that of being a mom. If you'll listen to me today, I think I can help you. Number one, what can we learn from these 27 different statements? And the king did that which was evil, or the king did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I think if you'll listen to me, you'll learn something. Number one, a mama who lives right has a better chance of rearing kids who turn out well. Did you hear that? A mom who lives right has a better chance. I didn't say that they're guaranteed. But a mom who lives right has a better chance of turning out children who live right. Hillary Clinton's wrong. It doesn't take a village. It takes the power of God. I'm going to make a statement here that I'm going to dash worldly philosophies very quickly with. I'll use Hillary since she tried to make it so popular. And by the way, how would you like to have a mother like that? Lord have mercy. I'm going to get in trouble. I was supposed to be nice today. It didn't come out that way, did it? Sorry. I don't care how good the environment is. Environment has little to play with rearing good kids. Listen to me very carefully. Do you realize that a perfect God put two people in a perfect Garden of Eden with no sin, with no bad influences except one? And that influence was limited. And if a perfect God with only two children on the face of the earth, guess what? Both of those children disobeyed. Was it God's fault? Now, the world wants to blame God for our sin. They say God should have never allowed that bad influence there. Every man has the right to choose by will what they do. That is a communist philosophy. Communism says, we dictate what influences you. You don't have the right to choose. Just so you know. God said, I don't want robots. I want people to love me because they love me, not because they have to love me. No mom raises a child to be an evil murderer. You know, I don't think there's ever been a mother who birthed a child and held that child in their arms and said, I'm going to raise you to kill people. Say, that's stupid, Brother Bush. You're right. We read here in 1 Kings 15. The Bible says there's a lady named Maacah. And her first son, Abijam, the Bible says that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. But if you look at verse number 9, and in the 20th year of the reign of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. She had two sons that ended up being king. One was good and one was bad. Both of her sons ended up being king. One did well, one wasn't doing so good. One followed the way of evil and one followed the way of good. So was she a good mom or a bad mom? I'm here to tell you, a mama who lives right has a better chance of rearing kids who turn out right. Do you realize the power of a mom? To me, one of the most powerful stories of motherhood is a lady named Jochebed. Jochebed was the mother of a little baby named Moses. The king of the Pharaoh of Egypt was trying to kill all the man children to slow down the reproduction of the Jews because the Jews were outnumbering the Egyptians. And they feared if a revolt took place that the Jews would overpower the Egyptians. So starting at a certain age, the Pharaoh had all the men children killed to try to slow that process down. Moses' older brother's name was Aaron. Aaron was old enough to escape the knife from Pharaoh, but Moses was not. We know the story. She had Moses. She hid the child for months. The time came where she could hide him no longer, made a little basket and pitched it with tar to keep it from leaking and put that baby in there and floated it down the crocodile-infested Nile River, hoping God would spare her son's life. Miriam, his sister, followed that little basket down the river, and it just happened, by God's providence, to land near where Pharaoh's daughter was going down to the river's edge. She heard the baby cry. God poked it with a diaper pin, amen. That baby started squalling, and she said, "What do I hear?" Her maids went over and saw the child, and they said, "It's a Hebrew child. Should we just throw it in the river and drown it?" And she said, "Oh, no, bring it to me." Miriam saw it all take place and ran up to Pharaoh's daughter and said, "Would you like to keep him? I could find an Israelite woman who could nurse that child for you and take care of it till you're ready." She said, "That's a good idea." She said, "You go find me the lady and bring her here." She ran home and got mama, amen. And it was actually Moses' real mama. We don't know exactly how long, but Hebrew tradition states probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 to 5 years, Jochebed had Moses. By the way, Moses was his Egyptian name, not his Hebrew name. That mama loved her own boy and pumped everything she could because she knew the day was coming when she had to give him back to Pharaoh's daughter. To be born or to be raised in the palace to become the next Pharaoh of Egypt. She put everything she could into that boy. You realize about 40 years, 35 years later, everything his mama taught him those first 4 or 5 years came back to fruition. By the way, Moses was 40 years old before he left Egypt. He wasn't 18 or 20. He was in line to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. But all that teaching from when he was a young child that his mama put into him, nursing him and loving him and putting into him the principles of God. And one day he said, "What's the matter with me? I've been trained as an Egyptian, but I was born a Jew. My mom, my biological mama put into me the right things, and it's coming back. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." All those teachings that mama pumped into him as a very small child. By the way, mamas that have little children, you better teach them while you got them. Don't wait till they're teenagers to teach them. Teach them now. Say, well, they don't understand. They're getting more than you know they're getting. By the way, let me say this. Don't judge a child's life by how they live in their teens and their 20s. Everybody listen to me. Those of you that have small children, be careful criticizing parents of teenagers and parents of young adults. Say, well, they must have been bad parents. Look how their kids have turned out. Their kids' life isn't over yet, just so you know. Why would you judge somebody over a few years of their life and label them for the rest of their life? You're going to find out in about 10 years you're not as good as you thought you were. By the way, when God looks at a life, he looks at the whole life. I say the word Moses and you think of godly leadership. You realize he murdered a man? You realize he got disobedient to God and in a fit of anger lost his temper? Instead of speaking to the rock, he hit it? I say the word David and you think great king of Israel, and yet here's a man who committed adultery. Here's a man who the man of the woman with whom he committed adultery had killed. Should I go on? The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians of the Bible, was a murderer of Christians before he got saved. Before you look at one of the kids that grows up in church and makes some mistakes, I think you better take into account their whole life, not just a few bad years. By the way, young people, I'm not saying it's right for you to go out and screw up your life. Too much is given, much is required. One of our good men was out soul winning yesterday. He relayed to me the story that he met a family or a couple, and they said, oh, we used to go to church, but we got hurt at church, and we'll never go back to church. He said, you're just the kind of people we're looking for. He said, what do you mean? He said, our church is a hospital. It's not a museum. Boy, I love that statement. He said, church isn't a place where we go and show off how good things are. We go there and our pastor believes in trying to heal us and help us and go on. By the way, that's what I want our church known as. God is the only perfect father. God is the only perfect parent. And listen to this statement. Do you realize a perfect God only reared one perfect child out of billions? If a perfect God has a 1 in, let's say, 15 billion ratio, what chance do we have as imperfect parents? Everybody doing okay? So let's quit criticizing each other about how our kids turn out. Say, well, have your kids turned out? They're still breathing. There's still time. Amen. Before we get too critical of people's parenting skills, you've listened to the world too long. Well, that person raised a teenager that went bad, or they went to college and they went wild and they're not serving God anymore. Boy, that mom and dad failed. Hey, how about the child failed? It's not because mom and dad didn't always put the right thing into them. Folks, you can eat all the right food and still get sick. You know, when you get the flu, it's not because necessarily you ate the wrong food. Now, you'll find out what you did eat, amen? Man. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why he put a reverse in that thing. Not intended to go that direction. One way only, amen? But you can eat all the right things and still get sick. Can I tell you something? You can put all the right things into your kids and they still get sick. They can still go a wrong direction because that's what man chooses. And let me say this. Everybody look at me very carefully here. Some of you young adults, Some of you middle and older adults. Some of you have parents that used to be right that aren't right anymore. The whole story's not done yet, though. The whole story's not done. Hang in there. And just because they get sidetracked doesn't mean you should sidetrack with them. You stay on that path of right. You stay on what was taught that was right according to that book, whether they live it or not. Boy, that's good stuff. A mama who lives right is a power that no child can overcome. Some of you big, tough men that used to live in the world, I've heard you say, thank God I had a praying mama. It's the only thing that kept me right. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You may have still done wrong, but boy, you knew that mama was back there praying, or that grandma was back there praying, and you're thinking, ooh, I wish they'd quit that. Mom, even when your kid's doing wrong, you stay right with God. You stay in church. You stay on your knees. You stay in the face of God. Say, well, I've spent years and my child's still wrong. Okay, but you still do that which is right in the sight of God, and you got a chance. Number two. And I say this extremely lovingly. Mamas, quit living with guilt in your life. Quit living with guilt in your life. No mom ever wants to hurt their child. I understand that. That's why you let dad spank them. I mean, no mom wants to hurt their child. Good night. I remember when my kids were growing up. They're learning to walk. They're teetering around. They get towards the edge of the steps, and we've taught them not to go near those steps. Say, what'd you do? Every once in a while, I let them fall. By the way, I didn't enjoy it. But they had to realize there's consequences for not listening, amen? Every once in a while, and by the way, that's hard. It's harder on mama. By the way, mamas, it's hard on dads too. We just don't show it. We don't let the it's hard on us decide what we do. You just got to do it. Every once in a while, you got to let that kid mess up in a controlled situation. Every once in a while, they got to get hurt. That's why it's not good for mom to teach a kid how to ride a bike, amen? Let dad teach them. You can tell whose kids were taught by mom and whose kids were taught by dad. Say, which ones? The ones that come in scraped up, scuffed up, cut up, bruised up, and broken and bloody, dad taught them, amen? I'm convinced helmets, shoulder pads, arm pads, knee pads, foot pads, body armor came from a mama teaching a kid to ride a bike. Shoot. We got kids today, they get on a bike with more protection than Evel Knievel had, amen? And he was an idiot. Good night. There ain't nothing like learning how to ride your bike on a gravel road, amen? Right, Dad? Out there at the camp, we had a hill. My dad put me on that thing and pushed me down. He had that little crush and run type gravel. Good night. I cut up so many things in my body, it shouldn't even be legal. But guess what? It was motivation to learn how to pump that thing a little faster. Oh, I can't believe your parents would let you get hurt. I can still ride a bike and I'm almost 46 years old. I learned. Sometimes you got to let a kid do something that hurts them. General Douglas MacArthur said, the hot stove is the meanest of all teachers, but its lessons are never forgotten. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It'll burn it deep into your mind not to ever do that again. Moms, just because your child does something, whether they're at home or grown and out of the house, guess what? It's not your fault. Can I teach you something wonderful about that verse in Proverbs? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. It doesn't mean that a child will never do wrong. It means that when they do wrong, they don't go back and say, it's your fault that I did wrong. I have done wrong things, but it's not my dad and not my mama's fault. It's my fault. Some of you need to train your kids. By the way, Christian kids that grow up in church and grow up in a Christian home, they will do stupid things, but they're not going to point their finger at you and say, well, it's your fault. You didn't teach me not to do that. Oh, no, 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 no. In their rebellion, they'll say, it's because you taught me too much good. Hello. All people are sinners by choice. Listen to me very carefully. Every human being is a sinner. Those of you that have small children, babies, they come out of the womb lying. Y'all know what I'm talking about? 2 o'clock in the morning, they're screaming like they're dying. No, they're hungry. Sometimes they're not even hungry. They're just screaming because they want attention. They're not hungry. They're not wet. They're not nasty. They just want your attention, so they start screaming. You think they're dying. Nah. And they know how to lie real quick, amen? They pick up on it that fast. You don't have to teach them. It's natural. Some of you with little children, you get to that 2 or 3 year old stage, that wonderful stage of life that you want to kill your own child. You now understand why animals eat their own young. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You say, I should never think that way. Well, you do. Don't worry about it. We all have. You survived it because your parents didn't kill you either. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? That 2 or 3 year old child is acting on sin. They're a sinner. They're lost. They're acting like a lost person. It's not an excuse, but guess what? All children go through it. Some go through it a little longer than others. Some a little tougher than others. Some it doesn't come till later. I'd rather them get it out of their system at 2 and 3 than to wait till they're 13 and 14, amen? Some of you wonder if you'll ever survive another week with your child. Hang in there. You'll make it. You'll make it. They'll make it, hopefully. I don't think you'll kill them. If so, call me first. Don't do it. All people are sinners. Do you know that sinners come in big bodies as well as little bodies? Sinners come in great big giant tall bodies, and they come in itsy bitsy little packages. Man, it's amazing. Them puppies start learning personality and they start manipulating real fast. God knew you were a sinner before you had a child. God knew you were a sinner before you were a mom. So I guess God knew you were going to raise a sinner. So why do you blame yourself? Some of you are forfeiting the blessings of God on your life because you live in regret every moment of your life. I say step out of that regret. You did your best. None of us knew how to be a parent, amen? My dad said, after every child was born, son, you only got one shot at it, give it your best. Pretty good advice. You can't go back and start over. It's kind of like the old black woman down in South Carolina. She had 14 kids. One of the kids come running, mama, 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 come here. She walked out and one of the kids fell into a tar bucket. She picked that kid up, looked at him, shoved him back in the bucket and said, it's easier to have another one than to clean you up. Some of y'all feel that way, man. Now, she did pick him up and clean him up, but she was pretty frustrated, amen. Some of you just need to laugh, amen? It's okay. Folks, why do you live with so much regret? Some of you adults are, you have children that have broken your heart and disobeyed you, and you live in so much regret. Some of you weren't even saved when you had your kids. Can I tell you something? All right, you weren't saved. You didn't know any better. You did the best you could do. Now do the best you can as a saved mama now and love the fire out of them. That's all you can do. Why don't you quit focusing on what you didn't do and focus on what you did do? Number three, and I've got to hurry. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Most of you parents don't need to turn there. You know it. You kids that grow up in church know it. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I want you to notice the next statement. Honor thy father and thy mother. Children, obey. Then later it says, honor thy father and mother. If you are born, you are a child. I don't care how old you are. I'll be 46 years old here in a couple weeks. Guess what? My mom and dad sitting right over there. I don't have to obey my mommy. I don't have to obey my daddy. But I'm required to honor them. My mommy and daddy don't tell me what to do. But I'm required to honor them as their child. Some of you have parents that aren't even alive anymore, but you know what? You can still honor them. Some of you have parents that are in heaven. Some of you have parents that might not even be in heaven, but you could still honor them. Now listen to me very carefully here. Even a bad mom gave you life. Even a bad mom, you could thank her for giving you the life that you now have the ability to live. I know of two people in this room, and I'd never tell you who they are in a million years, but I know two people in this room who have prostitutes as mothers. Say, how could you honor them? You could thank your mama for giving you life. She gave you the opportunity to be saved and be in church, whether she knew it or not. And maybe your honoring her will draw her to what you have. Maybe God gave you to that mother so that your mother could get saved. What greater honor could you be? Sometimes the only thing you have to thank a mama for is the life she gave you. All right. Some of you have mothers that you can thank God they made the mistakes so that you don't have to. You know the scariest thing about having kids? You see yourself. Man, my wife was pregnant. My mom made a statement to me. It still haunts me. I hate it. She knows what I'm about to say. Children are a mirror of your extremes. Man. Those of you that have kids that are over the age of two, you know what I'm talking about. Words have come out of your mouth that you said would never come out of your mouth because you heard your mom and dad say them. And all of a sudden you go, ooh, where'd that come from? Man, I used to be a climber. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How old was I when I started walking? 7 months? Something like that. I was 7 months old when I started walking. I've been on my feet since I was 7 months old, folks. Trust me, I haven't slowed down at all. Believe me, it's been rough on my family. Good night. I remember I was about 4 years old. We were at somebody's house. I was crawling up the side of a wall, amen? Got about 8, 9 foot up, and I didn't know the last section of cinder block on top was not concreted in. I grabbed a hold of that thing, and it came over. I hit the ground, and it hit me right on top of the head. Broken my head and broke the cinder block, amen? There went a bunch of stitches. That's why you don't want me going bald, because I look like Frankenstein. I got scars everywhere up there. Wait a minute, I was a climber. One of my children, we were in another state. And matter of fact, I think it was my oldest. He was about 2 years old. My wife and I were sitting in the living room. All of a sudden, I saw the light in his room go on. Now, wait a minute. No two-year-old could reach that light switch. Impossible. I'd gotten in there, and he had crawled up on the furniture in his bedroom and leaned out and was turning the light switch on and off. I called my mom and said, I'm sorry. Man, I was ready to. You see yourself in your kids. Can I tell you something? Sometimes you need to just call your mom and say, Mom, thanks. Thanks. Say, but my mom's not saved, Brother Bush. You can still thank your mom for something. She gave you life. She may have even taught you what not to do. Some moms have made mistakes. Well, learn from them and don't repeat them. Some of you can find a substitute mama. Some of you don't have a mama that lives near, so adopt a mom, amen? You know, there's plenty of ladies in this church that would kind of swallow you up as mama. I've got one real mama, but I got several adopted mamas in this church. I'm not afraid of that. Now, some of you aren't old enough to be my mama, so don't get offended. Unfortunately, some of you adults, I'm old enough to be your parents, so don't go there. But some of these older saints, they're kind of like a second mama to me. And I'm not afraid of that. You say, why? Because there's times my mom and dad, they're snowbirds. They go to Florida. I need a mama while they're gone. Amen? I'm not afraid of that. You know, some of you young ladies need to find, if you don't have what we would call a good mom, find a good mom role model and get close to them. Learn from a Christian mama what you're supposed to do. Boy, that's good stuff. Some of you need to copy what your mom did. Some of you need to copy what your mama did. Obviously, you turned out okay. Have you ever asked them what they did? My mom gets tired of me asking her questions. Say why? Because I want to learn. I got one gone, one leaving, and only a couple years left on another. Now, wait a minute. I found out something. Parenting adult children is worse than parenting kids at home. Because adult children have adult troubles. It's a whole lot worse than a boo-boo and a skinned knee. You can't clean it off, kiss it, and say it'll be better and rub it with dirt and it's fine. Amen? The problems are a lot bigger and a lot more expensive. And usually far more complicated. I'm finding out parenting adult children's worse than parenting them while they're at home. You can control them at home. When they're on their own, there's no control. It's a lot harder. Can I tell you something? Never stop being thankful for your mama. Never stop being thankful for your mama. And please don't get mad at me. I am not the best example of this. But probably in the last 25 years, you could count on one hand the days I didn't either call or talk to my mom face to face. Total. Every day of my life, I talk to her. Is it always convenient? Nope. But it wasn't convenient for her to birth me either. It wasn't convenient for her to take care of me when I couldn't take care of myself. It wasn't convenient for her when I had problems for her to drop everything. Guess what? I owe her a big debt. If my mom passes away, which I hope is a long time from now, but if she passed away today, guess what? I have no regrets that I told her every day of my life that I love her. I don't have any regrets. My grandmother's 95 years old. That's my mom's mom. Long-term genetics, amen. God hope. At that rate, I got about 24 years left for my mom, amen. But I won't tell you how old she is. I just got in trouble on that one. I am really in trouble now. I'm going to their house for lunch. Maybe. Can I tell you something? I talked to my grandma yesterday. Every week of my life, I call my grandmother. And I'm going to tell you where I learned it. Right there. My mom talks to her mom every day. Without fail. Without fail. Some of you, your parents are alive and it's been years since you talked to them. What's wrong? Well, you don't know how they hurt me. Then why don't you get right with God and get right with them? It's time to grow up. Some of you are going to let your parents die and have regrets. I'm not going to die with regret. I'm going to soak up every day I got. I'm going to enjoy my parents. I'm going to enjoy being a parent. I'm going to enjoy the days with my kids. I took a couple mornings this week and got up real early and went turkey hunting. Took my dad out a couple times this week. But I was glad one morning my son got up and just him and I went. I had just as much fun. Different way. Can I tell you something? Some of you need to just thank God for the parents God gave you. Say, yeah, but my mom's not responsible for my Christianity. Maybe she is and you don't know it. I hope you'll understand how important, ladies, that you are. You set the atmosphere. You set the attitude of the home, of our church, wherever you're at. Daddies, husbands, boys, girls, your mama holds a high position. I find very few places in the Bible where God mentions a leader and says, "and his father's name was." But I see 27 times in 3 books of the Bible where God says, "and his mother's name was." And his mother's name was. Whether it was good or whether it was bad. In some, as Maacah had 2 sons, one did right, one did wrong. Obviously, that mom had some good parenting skills. One kid got it, one didn't. But she still mentioned. I hope that you follow the Lord. I want you to. Some of you mamas might need to get yourself right to help raise your kids. I'm not asking you to be something you're not. I'm just asking you to get close to your God so you can help rear your kids right for God. Mama, are you saved? Let me ask you a question. Boy or girl, teenager, are you saved? Why don't you honor your mama and get saved today? Mama, maybe it's time to get right with the Lord. I'll tell this story and I'm done. In the news, I saw this week and then again this morning, there's a man in New York. They're making big news about it. He's just completed writing the Bible out in his own handwriting. It's all over Fox News and other news agencies. He's been copying, taking 4 years to copy the King James Bible. He's dying of AIDS and everything else. I read that news article. I said, that's nothing. My mom did that 25 years ago, a couple times. My mom has a stack of notebooks where she's written out the Bible, every word, every comma, every semicolon, in her own handwriting, and someday those are mine. thought, my mom did that 25 years ago. Can you imagine what the news, I'm not calling the news agency either. I don't want in the paper that way. I thought the world thinks that's the greatest thing that they've ever heard of, some man dying of AIDS. Well, I had a mama that did it a long time ago. Let me ask you a question. What kind of mama are you going to be? Say, well, my kids are grown and gone. You're still mama. Maybe if you got close enough to God, he'll open up their heart someday. Maybe. I know a mama that prayed for her kids that were lost and not right with God for years. I won't give her name. Prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. God took her home. But I remember at her funeral, three or four of her kids getting saved, and their families are still in church over it. Took her going home before they got right. She's still up in heaven shouting. Watching her kids serve God. I love that. It might take your whole life and then your death before they get it, but there's a chance. There's a chance. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Mamas, you're a kingmaker. You're a queenmaker. You're the trainers of the leaders. When God epitaphs your life, what will he say? Is there one here that would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I am not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else? All right. Maybe there's somebody you need to get baptized. Today's the day. We can take care of it. Baptistry water's warm. We've got what you need. Maybe it is that you just need to come use this altar and you need to get yourself right with your God and then get yourself right with your parents or your child. Some of you today ought to make a phone call. Whether a child to a mama or a mama to a child, and just say, I love you.